and Brett Bielema is going to change his mind and send the offense out.
As a head coach, I'm so thankful for to be around these coaches, these players.
Here's the throw. It is a throw. It's caught by Bryant. First down. 15. 10. House call. Touchdown. Pat Bryant from Luke Altmyer on fourth down.
Brett Bielema. I'm telling you, this guy, Illinois guys, is a good program, and they're going to get better.
They have an altercation of some sort down on the field.
Brett Bielema walked across the field to take care of his injured player and taunted Shane Beamer.
This is going to be a fun season for me and my family to watch. You know, obviously my son will be a center. One of my other sons will be playing linebacker special teams.
I mean, I saw him going out there, so I strapped on my helmet, right? I got to back up the head coach. I think a lot of our guys strapped up their helmets ready to back up our head coach.
I did stress to our guys on Sunday, you're going to get a million questions about how you beat Michigan or how you prepare for Michigan. And I told them, you know, listen, I learned this one from a very wise man, my mentor, Barry Alvarez. You learn to beat Michigan 365 days a year.
Luke Altmyer at Illinois with a win at home to snap the Michigan six-game winning streak in this series.
He's made them a top 25 program.
Lawrence, they won 10 games this year, and five of them, they were underdog.
They cheesed it. The Cheez-It Citrus Bowl champions in 2024 are Illinois.
He does everything well, right? When you watch him lead the football team.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
It is our absolute pleasure to bring the head coach of the Fighting Illini on to The Score, Brett Bielema, with a contract extension that is going to keep him in Champaign for a few more years. And I think that is wonderful. I love when a plan works like this, where you bring a guy home and it's not a disaster, where he can build something. And you look at the season that Illinois had last year, 10 wins, that win in the Citrus Bowl, which was viral, the win over Michigan last season, which was demonstrative. It was great to see Brett Bielema succeed and then be rewarded for it. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Brett, thanks for joining us. Congratulations. Why did you want to continue the relationship with the University of Illinois?
Well, thanks, gentlemen. I've had a lot of great introductions in my lifetime, but that one might have been the best. I appreciate that. I'm going to have to coin that and get a copyright on it. There was a lot of good audio from the past year. But really, to be honest, you know, I'm an Illinois kid. I grew up in Illinois, played high school football in Illinois. I was an Illinois fan growing up, and kind of the powers that be didn't get me to Illinois out of the gate, but it was a job I always looked at. Honestly, when I left Wisconsin and went to Arkansas, I thought to myself, literally, as I made that transition, this is a way that I could open up an opportunity if Illinois ever opened to get involved there. I just thought it was something that always called me here. And now to be going into year five where we're at, to be around the group of players, the group of coaches, administration, it's just a really fun time to have a job like this.
That's really cool to have that kind of connectivity to it, Brett, and to get to live it and now to get to extend it. You are the first head coach of the Illinois football team to go to two bowl games in his first four seasons since Lou Tepper in the early 90s. So is that an era where you're watching and thinking about Illinois, and what other eras, you know, spoke to you as an Illinois kid in terms of college football?
Well, you know, I graduated in 1988, high school, and that's when, you know, obviously I really kind of started to pay attention to college football in general as close as I did. But really growing up, you know, there was a couple runs there where good things happened. Truth be told, Matt, this is crazy. I became the head coach at the University of Wisconsin in 2006, and I interviewed Lou Tepper for the defensive coordinator job.
Wow.
At that time, he was at Indiana, University of Pennsylvania, whatever it was. You know, he's a guy that I watched as a head coach here. Chris Koch was a defensive coordinator. I knew a lot of coaches that had been here. So it's kind of just crazy how the whole world connect. But I always had seen, even when I was a head coach at Iowa as a young assistant and then Kansas State and Wisconsin, I'd always come into Illinois and recruited. And I always kind of used to say to myself, man, if Illinois ever recruited the way they can in a state, this place could be something different. I think the 4 years prior to me becoming here, there has been, I want to say it was like four or five, maybe total of six guys to sign at Illinois during that four-year window. Since we've been here, we've signed almost 40 players. I think we're at 38 players in that same four-year window. So I think that's been a big key, too, is just keeping Illinois guys at home and doing good things with them.
Brett, you and I talked right before the season started last year, and you made the point of, hey, part of your job is to keep Illinois, with the Big Ten expanding, with college football changing, to keep Illinois ahead of the cut line. There's a lot of pressure that comes with that. How did you go about saying to the team, like, it's we want to win, but we have to understand that there's also a responsibility to continue to elevate the athletic program through what the football team is doing?
You know, great question. You know, I think for us, you know, and I remember having that conversation, there's some big picture items that I, as a head coach, have to take on, tackle, and do. But I know if I give that to, you know, the normal college student coming into our building, I think it probably loses its focus. So we really work on, you know, very simple thing here in our building. We want to have our guys wake up every day, do the right thing. I want them to be respectful of the people around them and be the best versions of themselves every day. And if you just do those three things, like, a lot of really good things can happen. And that's what we try to do. As a byproduct, we won a few games, ended up winning 10 in the end, knocked off a really good South Carolina team that everybody thought should be in the playoffs. I thought we should be in the playoffs, but, like, it's one of those things we just focused on the now. Now, this year, right, there's not one tackle, turnover, or touchdown that last year carries into this year. So we got to do it all over again. Fortunately, I think we have the most returning starters of anybody in this conference. You know, and it's an 18-team league now, so there's a lot of things to get excited about. Have all three of my coordinators back for 3 years or more, so a fun time for us to be here.
I flat out giggled when you said 18-team league. I mean, it is crazy what has happened with the conference realignments and the consolidations. It's, I mean, it can't possibly feel like the same Big Ten that you and Barry Alvarez trafficked all those years.
You know, even, Matt, to go full circle, you know, when I went to the league, it was really 10. You know, it was when the Big Ten made sense. There were 10, right? And now we're not quite to 20, but we've almost doubled it. I remember, and I know, Matt, you grew up in the Boston area, in Jersey. I was out there with the pros, right, with the Giants and the Patriots. And, you know, the part that's changed for me is after that experience in the NFL, one of the things we constantly sell to our kids, we're the only conference. You know, you can say what you want about the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12. We're the only one that you can literally say from, you know, Penn State to the four West Coast teams, we play in all four time zones. We play in all weather, all environments. And for the NFL, that's a huge deal, right? Like, when you get a kid from Miami, Florida, that went to high school in Miami and went to Miami, and now you're trying to draft him for the Giants or the Patriots, and he's never experienced that cold weather, like, that's a big deal. I can literally tell every kid, you come play at Illinois, you're going to be marketable to 32 NFL teams, and that's a big deal. Every kid has a dream and an aspiration of playing in that league, and that's something we use all the time here.
Man, Brett Bielema knows that I grew up in Jersey. That's fascinating. He knows stuff, Brett Bielema. And I'll tell you what, my dad texted me and said, hey, Bears took a Rutgers kid. Because my dad's a Rutgers guy. So my dad's like, oh, yeah.
Right.
And so he's been watching. He liked Kyle Manungai. Should Bears fans like Kyle Manungai?
I do. I think good player. I will tell you what, I was very impressed with the Bears. You know, I know, you know, different thoughts, different philosophies. I thought the Michigan tight end, when we played him even 2 years ago, was one of the best players in our league, and he just continued to be that way. I think he really, truly fits. I have tremendous respect what Coach did at Detroit. I have a couple, you know, the Detroit Lions every weekend trampled out, you know, 8 offensive linemen on their Sunday dress roster. 3 of those guys played for me. 2 of their starters both played for me. First round draft picks, Kevin Zeitler and Frank Ragnow. He knows how to build a team, right? Like, that offensive line was literally one of the best in the league. And you saw the focus of what they did in the draft and what they did in the offseason. So it's really fun to watch. I grew up a little bit of a Bears fan. My heyday, the 1985 shuffle, was when I was a sophomore in high school. I had a haircut like Jim McMahon. I couldn't throw with him like him. That's why they moved me to linebacker. But I definitely am a Bears fan, and it's been fun to watch their growth.
Well, since we've got you doing some oppo, Brett, give us more on Loveland. What do you think when you saw him, and what did you see on tape that you thought made him a special player?
You know, so tight ends, you know, I've had 8 tight ends drafted, so I love that position. We have one guy drafted since I've been here, but we probably have the best tight end room coming back since I've been here, and I'm super excited. When you have perimeter matchup issues, right, when you got some guys on the outside that create coverage threats, and then you have a good running game, that creates a mismatch at tight end, because safeties probably can't handle his size and linebackers can't handle his speed, right? So, like, it really creates – I learned this when I was in the NFL. You know, we were playing the Carolina Panthers. Olsen was a tight end. They had running back McCaffrey, and then they had a Cam Newton, a quarterback. When you have three guys on the field offensively that are tough to handle, it just creates mismatch issues, and I think that's what's begun to happen. That's what he did at Detroit, and I think that's exactly what's going to happen in Chicago.
Man, you've got all these roots and tentacles that connect a lot of the football universe, Brett. Your time in the NFL, and you got guys in the NFL. You've had 12 now drafted from Illinois, 8 of them in the top 100, which is kind of amazing to think about it. So do you stay in touch with those guys? That probably only increases your connectivity with the league and only increases, you know, your understanding of what your players now are training for in their hopeful futures.
You know, it was something I didn't intend, to be honest. I was let go at Arkansas, didn't know what I wanted to do, and Coach Belichick reached out and gave me an opportunity, and I spent 2 years there. My first year, we won a Super Bowl, and you just learn so many things about that league I had never known. I've been a coach, you know, for 12 years and sent a lot of guys into the league, but when you got in there, now Coach involved me right away in just salary cap things, draft day, evaluations, all these little things that end up being big things. And then, to be honest, it's probably been the most beneficial exercise I could have to be a college coach right now. We, you know, the NFL has a 53-man roster. We have a 74-man travel roster, right? So it's a very comparable number. Now with this, the way the NFL, the NCAA has worked now with, you know, revenue share or NIL, whichever direction ends up going, I have a budget that I have to stay on task. I have a really good quarterback returning that Luke Altmyer is one of the best players in the country, if not in our conference for sure. And, you know, I love it, but one of the best things I did is I went out and got a quarterback from Northern Illinois that you know, beat Notre Dame on their home turf, right, and did something, and now he's our number two quarterback going to fall. So I know I have a really good starting quarterback, but that backup quarterback is a lot of value. I just got a commitment today from a backup punter, right? Everybody may laugh at that, right? But that's really fun when you got a great punter, but then he has a bad 2 weeks or gets injured. That backup punter is a big-ass deal, right? So – you know, it's kind of amazing in the NFL. It's really kind of a shit show with some of these people hire and these guys that they have come in and you know, think they look right on paper and they just can't handle and manage everything that we have to do as head coaches. And now in college football, it's more like the NFL than ever before. And that's the part that I'm just thankful for every day. I can tell these guys when they come in on visits, listen, there's probably a really good chance, 32 NFL teams, I may either know the head coach or the GM on a personal level. And I think that's why our guys get drafted high. I knew that Pat Bryant was going to go 2 rounds higher than everybody did because the Broncos had said it was going to happen. I remember Kirby Joseph, you know, he came in my office. He just literally became the highest paid safety in NFL history for Detroit. He came in my office the fourth day and on the job and walked in and said, "What do you think I should play?" I said, "Who the hell are you?" And he said, "Kirby Joseph, I play wide receiver." And I said, "Well, give me a week." So we watched his practice tape. I didn't want to watch any film, game film. I wanted to watch his practice tape. And we watched and said, "Hey, I want to move you from wide receiver to free safety." You know, a year later, he was the most productive safety in college football, third round draft pick. Should have stayed another year. He would have been a first rounder. But he's earned it now. And it's just fun to watch these kids have that success.
You've been very gracious talking about the coaches that helped you, the coaches that helped put you on the right path. What do young coaches ask you about the job now that you're an old head with a contract extension?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. I last year I had 20 coaches in the building. I have 10 main coaches, and each one of them have an assistant. We went to an NFL model where there's a running back coach and then a running back assistant coach, right? There's an O-line coach and there's an O-line assistant. Of those 20 coaches, 9 of those coaches had played for me, either at Wisconsin, Arkansas, Illinois, or in the NFL. I actually hired a couple guys that played for me at the Giants and the Patriots. So first and foremost, I hire guys that I've coached, right, because they know what I believe is the key, right? They know the keys that make things happen and the way we're wired. I do believe I really try to pour into my coaches as much as humanly possible. The coaches coach the players, right? So I got to coach the coaches on a daily basis. So whether it be, you know, 12 types of first down, whether it be, you know, 6 types of second down, whether it's how the importance of end of half is just as important as end of game, clock management, you know, how to use your timeouts. Like, there's just a million things that everybody else goes by. We always talk about second down as the most forgotten down. Everybody talks about first down, third down. Nobody talks about second down. Well, that's the difference in winning, right? And those are the little things that I know my coaches, especially if you ask them, you know, I've been very fortunate to have so many coaches become head coaches. If there's one thing they took from their time, our time together, it's the details of winning. It's not just about plugging numbers in. You know, anybody can take a calculator and come up with the right answer, but you got to know how to beat people. You got to know how people can beat you. And that's probably the biggest difference in what we do.
If you are a listener to this station and you've heard Olin Krutz an awful lot, you can tell why Olin was comfortable sending his boys to play for Brett Bielema. You know, it's like, you really can. And we were thinking, last time we had Olin on, he was wearing a Miami of Ohio volleyball sweatshirt, right?
Because of his daughter.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And we asked him about his daughter, and he kind of threw some indirect shade at his two boys. Listen to this for a second, Brett.
What's her level of toughness and competitiveness among
Maybe
your...
Maybe the toughest kid I got.
Yeah?
Tougher than the two boys in Illinois. She will compete now. She competes on a volleyball court. She gets after people. There is something we expect in this house, as you guys know me by now, and we hold people to that standard.
So she's tougher than the boys. I mean, can you... What will they have to say to that, Brett?
You know, Matt, this is great. So, obviously, I came in. Josh Krutz was committed to us. He had already signed before I even became the head coach. So I reached out to him and I talked to him, but I had never met or talked to Olin, really. It was during COVID, kind of an unusual time, but got a chance to meet Olin. But then I remember calling him that first year, and Josh had got hurt during fall camp. And you know, usually when a kid has an injury that is, you know, somewhat severe, he was going to miss some time with a knee injury. And I called Olin. I said, hey, you know, Josh got rolled up today, and, you know, talked about it. And he didn't ask about the injury. He didn't ask what type of – he said, well, did he lay there and cry about it, or did he get up and walk off? And I'm just like, Jesus, right? Like, I just said to myself, what are we dealing with here, right? And it's just I would tell you, like Matt and Lawrence, like, you know, yesterday – I was able to do something, you know, to get a contract extension, but it was something that, you know, meant a lot to me and my family. I was able to, you know, call my dad and share. I remember the first time I ever called him, I got a job. I remember the first time I called him, I got a coordinator job. I remember the first day I called him when I became a head coach. And then yesterday to just give him a little bit of warning what was coming out, because I knew he'd get bombarded. And so you hear from family and friends, but the best part to my day yesterday was getting texts and phone calls from my former players and former coaches here at Illinois. But the most rewarding were my players' parents. Mm. And honestly, the first parent that reached out to me was Olin Krutz. And for a guy that knows the bit, and you can say everybody's got opinions on Olin, right? And a very strong person in what he believes in. Like, that meant the world to me, because here's a guy that has two kids that walk in my program every day, right? And he knows what we pour into and what they've done. And those two kids have played a lot of really good football, but it's nothing compared to what they're going to do. I don't know what his daughter is going to do being Miami, Ohio, but my guess is she's going to be really good at what she does.
100%. Brett, we are so happy for you. Congratulations on the success of Illini football. We look forward to another great season, and thanks so much for joining us.
I appreciate it, Matt. You know you do some Cubs work. I'm singing the seventh inning stretch on June 17th, so I got the pipes working. This is my sixth appearance. I hope it'll make a Grammy worthy on the 17th.
Brett, you're not going to believe this, but Spiegs is going to sing the national anthem the next day.
The very next day.
Phenomenal.
Oh, we're just going to miss each other. That would have been so fun, Brett. But
that takes talent. I can carry a catch rhythm tune with an organist, but I don't think I could do the national anthem.
Well, you want to trade? I'll do the stretch. You can do the anthem.
No.
Hey,
I'll have a couple bracers before, and it'll be a good trick.
Hey, if you guys make the college football playoff, I think everyone will let you sing whatever you want.
Whatever you want. Absolutely. Thanks,
I love
Brett.
It, man. You guys appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks, man. You got I and I.